want you to know that we appreciate you listening in. We're hoping to get our internet here in just a short period of time so that we can have a clear video program to produce, and that's probably in the near future. Last Sunday, we raised up money for missions. We didn't set out to do that. It just happened. And so we raised, by the grace of God, $5,200 for missions in Jamaica, and we're going to do our very best to help remodel and upgrade our school there in Grange Hill. And so I want to thank everybody for your giving. And if the Lord speaks to your heart about doing more, no pressure. There was no zero pressure last week. There's zero pressure this week. But if the Lord, Holy Spirit, speaks to your heart to add to that, it could be greatly appreciated and used. And we're planning to take a trip over there later this year. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to a passage of Scripture that I believe the Lord wants to use in this service here today. Let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word before time gets away. This is Mother's Day, a very special day been set aside on America's calendar and many nations of the world to honor and celebrate our mothers. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. If you was looking at the last verse of chapter 1, the decree had been made that any male babies being born were to be executed immediately. They were to be thrown in the Nile River. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of a daughter of Levi. Levi was not the prize tribe. They were more the lowest tribe. It wasn't the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Judah, tribe of Joseph, tribe of Simeon. It was Levi. How many of you know God is still calling his people from the tribe, you might say, of Levi? And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, a proper child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by her at the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it, her servant, her maid, her slave. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. That was Moses. And behold, look here, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister, Marian, to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." She said, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. I'll pay you." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. Could you say Moses? And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." I want to read one more passage of Scripture here this morning that I think is very befitting. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want to talk to you this morning about the mother of a mighty man. The mother of a mighty man. You may be seated in the Lord's presence this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the Lord's word. The mother of a mighty man. This passage of scripture covers the birth of Moses, but mostly it focuses upon the mother of Moses, Jochebed. Jochebed, her name meant glory or honor. It really meant glory to Yahweh. It tells us how she saved Moses from being killed by the king's decree that all the male babies were to be thrown in the Nile River. How she trusted God. How she trusted God to take care of her baby boy. Moses' mother was a godly mother. She was a young woman who trusted God with all of her heart. When we survey the pages of human history, godly mothers are few and far between today. I'm thankful at this church that we have godly mothers. We have holy women in this house. You know, I'm thinking of Napoleon. Napoleon said the future destiny of a child is the result of a good mother. The result of a good mother. You know, John Quincy Adams said, All I am, my mother made me. All I am, my mother made me. You know, Napoleon said, let France have good mothers, and she'll have good sons. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man is the product of his mother. Moses was a product of his mother. Samuel was a product of his mother Hannah. Timothy was the product of his mother Lois and grandmother Eunice. God give us godly mothers to rear our children today is our holy prayer. Could I say godly mothers is devoted to her children? Amen. Godly mothers are joyful mothers as they raise her children. And their children rise up and call them blessed. The first word which comes to my mind this morning is distraction. Is distraction. To my mind, the word distraction is ringing in my heart. Moses' mother was a Hebrew of Levi's tribe, a slave of the lowest social rank and position imaginable. Israel had probably been enslaved for a century or more. The parents of Moses were slaves when they were married. This meant that both mother and father were slaves. Amen. They worked in the slave yards. They worked under the whip of taskmasters. And they didn't have a lot of luxury. Their housing was not luxurious. It was poorly furnished. They probably lived in a slave shack or a shanty. But no matter the peril of life, they were still faith people. I believe that should ring aloud in our hearts today. No matter the peril of their life, enslaved, mistreated, served as a slave under the whip and the scourge of taskmasters, they still loved Jesus. They still served the Lord and loved him and trained their children in the right way of the Lord. Could somebody say amen? Moses' mother had no social standing with society. She did not have decent clothes to wear, no possessions, no rank, no position. Yet God was to use this humble mother, Hannah, or Jochebed, this enslaved woman beyond imagination, because she loved Jesus. Just like there's mothers in this house this morning that love Jesus. I want you to keep in mind, she was a woman that raised up leadership in her family. In spite of the king's edict that Moses was to be thrown into the Nile River and eaten by the crocs, she went ahead when he was born. Could you imagine the trauma that was in her heart when she got pregnant? She was saying, probably the prayers, oh man, hopefully it'd be a girl, because I know what the king's decree is. If it's a boy, it's going in the Nile River. But you know, when she gave birth, it was Moses. And she saw he was a goodly child, handsome, fair to look at, just special. You could just see it in his countenance, probably felt it as well. She hid him in spite of the king's decree. She hid him for 3 months. Could you imagine hiding a baby for 3 months when guards were all around? I mean, the death threat was everywhere. She hid him anyway. And when she could no longer hide him, she made an ark, pitched it with slime and pitch, just like Noah's ark was pitched within and without. She set that little basket, that little ark, she set it after she made it down in the river's flags. She didn't set it out in the middle of the river where the current would take it down. She set it right there among the flags. And she had a plan. She was a woman of wisdom. She had a plan. She knowed Pharaoh's daughter and her servants would be down there bathing and washing and probably swimming and having a time together. And so she floats him right down along the bank of the Nile River, right among the bulrushes. That song, Moses in the Bulrush, just keeps coming to my mind. Right in the bulrushes. And she has Miriam, Moses' sister, probably about 13 years old, watching the whole scene. And she knows in her mind, these women are going to be down there bathing. And here comes Moses in that little basket, God's leader, future leader. There is future leaders in this house under the sound of my voice this morning. And when Pharaoh's daughter saw that basket, she sent her servant, her slave girl, out to fetch it. And when they opened the lid, the babe wept. The babe wept. There was a connection between the heart of a mother, the king's daughter, and the babe when it wept. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew babies. And she was passionate toward the baby and sent, you know, for a wet mother. And Marion right there said, I think I can go get one. I think I know where one's at. She went and got Jochebed, her mother. And Jochebed nursed him. Jochebed reared him and raised him the first 3 to 5 years of her life. Jochebed, the mother of Moses that knew the Lord, she taught him creation. She taught him about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She told him, she said, listen, in 400 years, we're going to be down here 400 years. But God's going to send a deliverer. She instilled faith, courage, morale in baby Moses as he's rearing him. And of course, with that, she had the blessing of going into the temple, into Pharaoh's palace. She could go in and out. She had time with Moses, probably at times daily. She taught him. She mentored him. She trained him. In spite of all the distractions, she was right there, you know, as a ministry woman of God, teaching, training, mothering, rearing, and raising Moses and him in the house of the king. The Pharaoh's daughter. Keep in mind, when she heard that baby weep, she had never had a baby. Pharaoh's daughter was barren. And she wanted a baby. I want to tell you something. Providence can have the stage set. Just like the stage is set this morning in this house, Providence can have the stage set even beyond our beknowing to make things come into alignment. Moses was reared. Moses was raised. Moses was mentored by his mother and trained in Pharaoh's house. He was trained to be a military strategist. He was trained in mathematics. He was trained in many ways that I cannot speak. But he come to years, brother, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He felt that Hebrew blood in him. He felt that Hebrew blood in him. He knew he was a Hebrew. His mama had exposed him to who he really was. I'd like to expose you this morning to who you really are born to be. She exposed him to the point he could never walk away from it. Distractions. In spite of all the distractions, people today have distractions on every hand. Things that occupy their mind and take up their time. Some of the things are good and some of the things are just not so good. But she did not let distractions keep her from rearing and raising her son to be God's leader. She was a great woman. Jochebed raised the first high priest, Aaron. Aaron fed from her breast. She raised the first prophetess and singer, Miriam. Do you remember how Miriam on the banks of the Red Sea, after God opened up that Red Sea, by the power of Jesus' name, by the power of God, he opened up that Red Sea. And they went through on dry ground. When they did, Miriam got that tambourine out. And I wish I was young again. She got that tambourine out and she began to shake it and she began to dance. And she began to praise the Lord and sing about how God had opened that Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh and all of his army in the Red Sea. Amen. She led them in worship. And listen, and it wasn't just that she raised Aaron to be the first high priest, Miriam to be the first prophetess and the singer, but she raised Moses. Amen. And when he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, trusting that God would rear him and keep him and use him, and he did. She was a great lady. She was a mother in Israel. The second word that I think about when I think about Jochebed, I think about her determination. Her determination is displayed in Holy Scripture. Jochebed determined in her heart that her boy was not going to be a victim of some wicked king's decree. I believe this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking and administering to the hearts, not just of mothers, but of parents this morning, saying, don't let your child become the victim of some king's decree. We're living in a time when our military age people are being killed off with drugs, alcohol, substance, like this country has never known. The woke movement today is a movement of total insanity. It's a movement of total insanity. And if ever there was a time that we needed to take courage and be determined, we're going to teach our children the right way of the Lord. We're going to teach them to read the Bible. We're going to teach them to come to church. We're going to teach them to love one another. We're going to teach them to memorize scripture. We're going to teach them the patterns of life and ministry. And if ever there was a time to do it, the time is right now. It's this morning. Man, she saw, verse 2, she saw he was a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. She saw he was a fine child, a handsome child. And it drove her to take care of him. If parents love their children, they will rear their children, train them in the right way of the Lord. If parents saw their children as gifts from God, very special and important to God, they'll train them, teach them the right way of the Lord. If parents protected their children, protected them from all the risks and the dangers of life, God will use them to do so. The second word I saw was determination. Before time gets away this morning, the third word I see is dedication. I see the word dedication. She was dedicated. She was dedicated. She was dedicated to her faith. She was dedicated to her children. She was dedicated to the ministry, to the educational program in her family, in her house. Keep in mind, she didn't have air blowing when it got hot. It got hot down there in Egypt. They didn't have no fans turning. They didn't have no air moving. No, it was hot down there. She didn't have no niceties. She didn't have no indoor equipment to help take care of everything. No, but she served, in the hot kitchen, sweat in her face, amen, running down her face. She served. She was determined. And she was dedicated. Could somebody say amen? I feel like this morning I've established my thought. Luther Banks said, if we had paid as little attention to our plants as we have our children, we'd be living in a jungle of weeds. My family is important to me. Your family is important to you. What does Scripture say? What if we wrenched the whole world and lost her own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I love outreach ministry. Done it my whole ministry, you might say. We preach a lot of meetings outside of this church. I have 9 churches under my regime. But listen, I never lost the focus of our community, our family, our church, and our community. Our family, this church, our community is a high priority of mine and Mary's. And I love you. In closing thoughts here this morning, a builder built a temple. He wrought it with care and with skill. Pillars and groans and arches, all fashioned to do his will. And men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay, like Solomon's temple. It shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder. thy fame shall endure for aye. A mother built a temple with infinite care, infinite love and care, planting each arch with patience, laying each stone with prayer. None praised her unceasing efforts. None knew of her wondrous plan, for the temple the mother built was seen by the eye of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled in the dust. Low lies that stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the mother built will last while the ages roll on, for that beautiful unseen temple was a child's immortal soul, was a child's immortal soul. The soul of man don't never die. You're raising a child that has an immortal soul. If ever there was a time to instill the love of Christ, the word of Christ in these children, it's now. God laid it on my heart. He gave me a dream to further the education of this church. And by the grace of God, I'm setting forth to do it. We took up that offering last Sunday. I said, if I'm going to further education here, build a school, whatever, I first must invest in education. And that's what we're going to do in Jamaica. God has his hand upon this little church here in this Whitewater Valley. And that is, his has his hand upon you. I love you. There's nobody in this house that I don't love. Could we stand together this morning? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're not confident, if your eyes would be closed in death, that you could walk the streets of gold with Jesus and the brothers and sisters of this house, you need to make that decision this morning. You need to make that decision this morning. You need to not be afraid or intimidated or cowarded away. You need to come forward and make that decision this morning. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to cast my lot with the chosen few. I'm going to be a woman of God, a man of God, and the man of my house. This morning, if you're here unsaved, you're just a prayer away from salvation. I believe the Holy Spirit is exposing you to yourself, not to somebody else, but to yourself, that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. There was a time when the Holy Spirit exposed me. I felt like I was naked, spiritually speaking. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. If that's you this morning, could you slip up your hand? Could you slip up your hand? Be brave. Man, you're in good company here. Maybe you're not there yet. But I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer this morning right here in this house before you. I want to pray the sinner's prayer this morning. And I'd like to ask you to repeat after me this morning as I pray the sinner's prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. The Holy Spirit has made it known to me. The Holy Spirit's calling me to repent, to be saved, to be born again. In Jesus' name, I accept Christ as my Savior. Amen. I'll tell you, if you prayed that prayer, you need to make your faith known, and you need to be baptized. There's people in this house that really need to be baptized. And we'll open up that baptistry tank anytime you're ready.